Hello and welcome to episode 97 of Muse on Muse.
Musing on the musing.
This is Fatation and I play Protector to Menoth, Convergence of Cirrus, and Minions.
This is Keith and I play Crix and various other factions.
This is Josh and I play Mercs.
This is Crump and I play Retribution and Fantasy Football.
Dun 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 dun.
This is Chad and I play Trollbloods and Vidya Games.
Was that like a really crappy ESPN knockoff so that way we don't get sued?
Right.
Good job.
It wasn't because I'm incapable of doing it. It was because I didn't want to get sued.
Right.
Clearly.
Good.
I second the video games. I've been playing Torchlight 2 again recently. That game is so legit. So legit.
Yeah, it was the Diablo 2 or the Diablo 3 that should have been.
The Diablo 3. Have you heard the news about D3? I think we talked about it a little bit. Did we talk about it on the podcast?
Not on the podcast. I was telling you about it, I think.
The Loot 2.0.
Yeah. Have you looked it up more?
A little. It sounds like they're having the drops be targeted per class so that they're actually going to get drops for your class more often.
I didn't read that.
And the first time you kill a boss, it's guaranteed to drop a useful item for useful. I don't know what useful means, but useful item for your class.
I don't know if I see, like, they keep going in directions. I don't know if that's, I don't know if I like that or not. Like, that's definitely better than now or.
Right. And they're souping up the uniques again, you said, so that.
Yeah.
The unique items are more better.
I'm hoping that they just drop more than once per character, period. I only found one unique.
I found a lot more than that.
Ridiculous.
Because you played more?
Not that much more. The game was tough to bear.
I'm pretty excited for the console version because my 10-year-old and I are going to sit around and play it.
I've heard really good things about the console version, actually.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
What, the console version?
That the console version is good, or can possibly be good.
I've heard very good things.
I just saw
in the wake of the PC version.
I feel like hack and slashers benefit from a controller setup.
Yeah, I mean, think it's more like Diablo 3 is much more gauntlety than Diablo 2 was.
That's true. Apparently, they added like a jump back function for the console version. There's just a quick a button that makes your character leap back like 5 yards.
Oh, like a Castlevania style like. Dodge,
like the Demon Hunter ability that makes you leap back 5 yards. They just gave that to everybody on Square.
Hooray!
You guys seen the commercials for it?
Yes. Every time I try to watch a StarCraft YouTube or the Zero Punctuation, they play that stupid Diablo commercial.
Hey, I'm home. Honey?
Have you guys seen the commercial for GoDaddy, the new one, with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Oh, God. Uh-huh. We just saw it, and we were so like, before everyone came over for the podcast, there's just this commercial with some random, like, chef or, like, baker throwing dough. And Jean-Claude Van Damme is just there going, like, drumming and, like, doing random things. And you, like, have no idea what's going on, and you're just like, is that Jean-Claude Van Damme? And then it comes back to the baker, and then it comes back to Jean-Claude Van Damme, and now he's, like,
doing the splits, shaking the maracas, and he's, like, up above the doorway. Like, and then it comes back to, like, he opens the cooler door, and he's playing the pan flute that's on fire. It's
completely random, and your mind is just being blown the entire time, and then the end, Jean-Claude Van Damme's just like, it's time to go. And they're like, GoDaddy.com.
Yeah.
So it's a GoDaddy commercial without women pretending to be nude.
Right.
Right.
I was... Yes. Danica Patrick is not in it.
Wow, a bold new direction for the brand.
I don't know.
Breaking new ground.
Describing a commercial is hard, but I actually laughed out loud. It was hilarious.
I laughed inside from your description.
I could tell. Yeah. It seemed like you were enjoying yourself.
I was.
And were generally amused.
I was.
Not at all
that
bored
is not,
or irritated.
That is a 100% accurate description of my general expression.
Since Crump was describing the commercial, I kept expecting it to just end with some random.
Yeah, I thought it was going to end with.
It was random.
The
then
least
I break the whole
funny.
Bushel of whoopsie daisies. Yeah.
That's not the quote.
Oh, Crump.
That's not the quote.
You're so.
We're actually podcasting right now.
News and announcements. Some exciting upcoming events. We are in the week prior to several interesting things. Most of the crew, including myself, will be at RecruitsCon in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Yay.
This weekend.
Recruits.
Everybody but me. I'll be at Scarefest hanging out with the Kentuckians and Tulsi and the boys.
Don't have a heart attack while you're out there.
Ooh, figure out what's with the hentai while you're out there.
No, I'm actually kind of scared.
Figure out what's up with that. And then when you come back,
keeping
you can
it classy.
You can give us a Dateline report, like NBC. Or is it MSNBC? What? What?
We really need a soundboard so I can play crickets.
We definitely need crickets for Chrome.
Yeah, right. Like...
So, RecruitsCon, one of the last qualifiers, and it sounds like the turnout is going to be fairly monstrous.
Last I heard, there are like over 65 players.
I wonder if that little high school gymnasium or high school cafeteria can support that. I guess we'll find
out. Oh, my God. I'm actually not looking forward to this now.
That's yes, you are.
Ridiculous.
Damn it, Chad.
Remember,
game face, Ross.
Game face.
Remember, Recruits is the easy tournament.
It used to be.
Yeah, Dan Salmon's pinged me. He's like, Recruits has got 65 signups now, and I blame you. And I'm like, why is it my fault?
Wait,
pretty sure it's not my fault.
Do we need a pre-reg? Are they actually going to run out of room?
I think Keith signed you up.
Keith signed a bunch of
people. I signed up five people. You can't
five
have a spot.
People.
I was a spot?
No, no.
No.
No, you can't have one.
You bastard.
Would you like a spot?
I would.
Okay, you'll have a spot until the day that we go to Recruits, and then he's going to give it to somebody else.
Excellent. Yeah. He'll just find a random guy walking in and be like, you, take this.
He will.
Aduro, you need a spot, right?
Filled your spot.
So we've got, let's see, the five of us, including Colin, are coming. Lance as well, I believe.
Capkey is going.
Capkey.
I did not know that.
This is going to be a caravan.
Capkey's going. Gar, maybe
Chad Gar.
Going.
Yep.
Roachid.
Pingle?
Pingle.
Brad.
Have not heard.
Signar Brad.
Oh, I don't know.
We have like eight islands.
Yeah, I had no idea that his last name was Pingle. I thought his last name was Brad, and his first name was Signar.
Oh, okay, yeah. Signar's coming.
Yeah, Signar's coming, I think.
Is Sweet Josh coming?
I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of.
He always goes to Recruits, though.
He usually does.
Maybe they're not playing Pirates this year.
They are not playing Pirates.
Oh, that was inconsiderate.
That's why he's not coming.
Did you guys... Oh, we talked about that. I was going to say... That Pirates game won Best of Historicon this year. They ran it at
Freewee.
Yeah, they ran it at Historicon, and it was Best in Show that game. So that was pretty cool. Anyway,
cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations to them.
You don't have to look at me just because I hiccuped.
Yeah,
sorry. Yes, I do.
Habits.
And then so that same weekend, there's Scarefest going on somewhere in Kentucky,
Lexington, I think ish. Hold on, Tulsi sent me his address.
Well, there's only like...
You're going. You should know if any of us are going to know.
It's somewhere in Kentucky. There's only like two big cities, right?
Chad, I don't really live my life by a plan.
Kentucky is a city, right? That's where it is. It's just in
it's
Kentucky.
In Kentucky.
Kentucky, Kentucky.
It's in Kentucky, Kentucky.
Yes, every state has
Kentucky,
one of
Indiana,
those.
Actually, right?
So,
wait, there's actually...
they named it twice.
So... Yeah, I don't want to offend people from Kentucky. Turning over a new leaf, I'm a kinder, gentler Sour Josh. Yeah.
So you should vote for him in the nice off.
Wait, no. Kentucky is full of redneck hicks.
Oh my God.
I've lost my opportunity to score lowest on the nice off because apparently my particular brand of evil attracts followers, I guess. So at this point, more people need to vote for me so I can beat John.
That would
make me happy now.
It was like only 10 behind last time I saw it.
No, that's not going to happen. That's not even possible. That would cause me to have a heart attack, and then Josh would win the bet. I'm pretty sure that's what would happen.
Vote for Keith.
Are you saying you want me to have a heart attack?
I mean, I want you to survive it.
Also that same weekend, which is the closest weekend this particular year to my birthday, also Danny Modesto's birthday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Husband's going to get some.
Are we still talking about recruits?
It's going to be delightful time. That same weekend, there's a tournament at Tower Games, 35 points, which I would recommend that no one goes to in favor of coming to Recruits or Scarefest.
Teaching them a lesson to not schedule
or
tournaments.
Or staying home and doing nothing instead.
Yeah, on the same
do
day
Do your
as
hair.
Comments.
Whatever. Mow the lawn.
Catch up on sleep.
That was funny because I asked Venus yesterday if he was going to come to Recruits.
Reread a book. There are lots of things you could do.
Speaking of, I just really finished the fifth Dresden book.
Ooh, I love Dresden Files.
I do too.
I really need to reread the those Patrick Patrick Rothfuss books.
Those are really good, too.
Yeah.
Well, the first one is amazing. The second one is...
I like both of them. Keith didn't like the second one.
The second one's good, but it's not...
Something about a Destiny Squirrel or...
They spend so much time just...
Destiny Squirrel.
Doing random stuff. The story doesn't
move. The second book went on forever and nothing happened. And the second book in a trilogy is supposed to be when things happen. Instead of when nothing happens.
The Penny Arcade guys do a annual D&D podcast thing where they all basically just record themselves playing a D&D game. And since they're all basically professional comedians, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this year their guest star was Pat, and he's pretty great on it.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Keith, in a traditional trilogy, I would agree with you. Stuff happens in the second book. But in a Robert Jordan trilogy...
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing as a trilogy.
The first three books actually started out, they were sold as a trilogy.
That's actually true.
The Dragon Reborn was the third book in the trilogy, and that was supposed to be the end. Mm-hmm. And he was like, wait a minute.
Actually, originally, the first book was supposed to be the end.
Right.
It wasn't even supposed to be a trilogy. It was just the Eye of the World was supposed to be a one-off, which is why at the end of the book, he kills, like, the big bad.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, it totally wasn't him.
Yeah.
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 So, I'm guessing this is going to be a Jordan-esque trilogy.
And that's fine. If it turns out to be that way, I will recant some of my vitriol against book two. But as it currently stands, still a trilogy, and book two is a steaming pile of nothing happening at the point in the story arc that's supposed to be...
Stuff happening.
Right. He meets a sex goddess and learns all of her ways.
Yeah, for like three chapters.
Three chapters, which is like... 200 pages.
Yeah. There are different books that I could read if that's what I was after. Yeah.
I liked the Destiny Squirrel. I'm weird, I guess.
Name of the Wind and Wise Man's Fear. Check them out.
Here's an idea.
They're worth reading.
Since John's not going to be here next week. Heads up, listeners. Maybe we should take the equipment to recruits and try and record with. All right, never mind. Lance, cut that out.
Let's cut that out.
I got a better idea. Chad, I will one up you. Let's try recording on the road.
Let's record on the road to recruits in separate cars.
Oh, my God.
Well, only Crumb's going to be in a separate car.
That's fine. Hope your cars break down. And then you all come crawling back to me.
Harsh.
Pretty sure they'd rather walk.
That's fine.
Harsh.
That's and not way. Towards you.
Actually, walking through Missouri.
Anyway.
Just to the edge. Any other upcoming events that we can talk about?
October 5th, there is an event in Iowa City. Steve-O is running it. It is a steamroller event of some... Determined size at I don't remember what it was though.
It's probably 50 points.
I think it's 50, but it might be 35.
And it will be at Critical Hit Games.
Organization, it's your friend. All right. So that is the weekend, same weekend as the WTC. So if you're stuck over here on this side of the pond, like the rest of us poor schlubs that didn't make the team. It is 50 points, Divide and Conquer, Specialists, and Death Clock. Interesting.
Oh, sad announcement. War Machine Weekend no longer includes Specialists.
Yep.
I was looking forward to that.
So you're now out on the... Yeah, never mind.
Yes. Are you looking forward to that? I'm just curious.
I think it'd be interesting. It adds a different element to list construction.
You haven't played in one yet, have you?
Mm-mm.
Specialist tournament. I haven't.
Other than
Iron Gauntlet.
Iron Gauntlet.
Right.
Here's
I guess
the...
technically...
Here's the biggest problem with specialists, and it has nothing to do... Like, it's great for the game, but I think it would be cool if they did one list specialists instead of two list specialists. Like, one list specialists would be fine. But you start doing two lists and specialists for both lists, or if your specialists were shared, it might be okay, too. But transportation of models becomes an issue if you're doing a big convention.
You can't share specialists between two lists.
Shared specialists then invalidates characters.
You play against Iris every single round.
I agree. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same problem that Reinforcements had.
Yeah. It's just, it's a matter of logistics. It's cool.
I do like the idea of one list specialist tournaments. That actually is a good idea, I think.
I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Quit making me play casters I don't want to play.
Only make me bring one army. That would be nice.
When will science invent a bag of holding so that we can carry our War Machine stuff around in just a little...
I just want personal teleporters so I can literally be like, come home in the between rounds.
Don't you understand how a teleporter works? It kills you. The person that comes out on the other side is a different person. It rearranges your atoms and it restructures atoms. It's not the same atoms. You're different. So teleporting kills you. Don't wish for teleporting.
I wish I could have teleportation so, like, between rounds I could come home and use my toilet. And I could leave my models here, like, out on my shelf all the time. And then if I just want, I forgot to bring my Eris. Bloop, bloop, in and out. I want to play a game with Jay at Chain Attack today.
So he wants magical teleporting, not scientific teleporting.
Oh. Okay.
He needs a mage.
You're thinking of the Star Trek transporter.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the teleporting that, you know, will actually exist one day.
Why is it a problem if it kills you? I mean,
what if it
puts you back together? Right,
that's actually a really interesting philosophical discussion.
This is a very deep existential discussion.
I'd love to get into with one of you guys on a car trip sometime.
Indeed.
But
or right now on this podcast.
What about the type of teleportation? Like if it like what if it combines two spaces in time, like a, you know, takes two
like a wormhole type situation.
So, like, opens up essentially a doorway that you can walk through that, like, goes from one place to another.
Like, so it actually just, like, bends space.
Folds space.
Like
it folds space, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems dangerous.
Agreed.
Probably.
But I love it.
Like most scientific futuristic endeavors.
In the right hands, it seems like it could be brilliant, but in the wrong hands.
My God.
Thank you for finishing that.
All right. Well, do we have anything War Machine related to talk about this podcast?
I suppose. Recently released is the Faction Caster Breakdown for the World Team Championship teams.
This is actually an interesting look at that meta, which is not the same as the regular meta, I think.
It's a little bit more condensed.
Not only is it more condensed, but it's a different type of format in that you can avoid bad matchups a little bit. So you can, like, for example, you can bring Trollblood lists that don't have an answer for Krix.
Yes and no.
I mean, you can still end up playing against Krix, but...
Yeah, actually, pretty likely. It depends on how many, like, some teams could actually take two. I mean, that's a whole meta strategy. It's actually kind of interesting for the... We did the round-picking thing. We did a dry run of it when we were in Texas a couple of months ago. And it's interesting because we did it three times, I think. And every time we ended up with the same matchups. And we were starting off with different... We were trying to use different strategies every time for where we wanted to pair up. And it works out in this weird way. You kind of get what you want. Or you kind of, you know, you kind of get what you want in some areas and give them what they want in other areas, and there's not, like, a lot that you can do to change it, it seems like. Although we haven't really discovered, I mean, maybe there's nuances we haven't figured out yet. But, for instance, if a team has two Krix players, which is possible, right, they just can't double up casters.
Yeah. Correct.
But then I'm going to be on the table at some point in time with my Trollbloods, and so then it's their team's opportunity to go, you know, Krix. You know, choose between two bad decisions, essentially. So,
I wonder if there's any teams that did Krix.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, that's a possibility. Or they, you know, it's very likely that because of the way it works, if you're left on the table, which is not up to you, mm-hmm. because they choose who they want to fight, then they can put up two pairings that are theoretically bad for you. You know. It just so happened that in our practice, every time that they would put up, and I thought this was sort of an interesting look into how different people perceived things differently, because every time, for instance, that I was left on the table, they would put up two pairings for me, and one was clearly bad, and the other they thought was bad for me, but I looked at it and thought, I think I can definitely beat that. Like, that seems good for me. So, like, my perception of that matchup was, well, that's good for me. Like, I'm going to take that. Whereas they thought they were putting up two bad matchups for me, like giving me two bad decisions or two bad choices. So I'm wondering if that's going to happen a lot, especially between the difference between the different continents.
Yeah, that may be something to hope for, is just getting players into situations that they're comfortable. That maybe that's not traditionally what you would expect from that faction matchup or that caster matchup, but it's something that the player themselves is comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just wondering if there's going to be a big disparity between the way that the thinking works in the different continents or in the different...
Oh, I guarantee you there will be.
Because it's going to be... Because, you know, conventional wisdom here would be, okay, well, Trollbloods, you don't want to go up against Krix. So they're going to put their Krix players down against the Trollbloods. But, like, maybe that won't be their perception. Maybe they, for some reason, think that Trollbloods are really good against Krix, so they're not going to put their Krix players up against me.
An extreme example and unlikely, but I think that's a... It's a possibility.
I'm just trying
some,
to...
It's an illustration of right. what of a situation yeah. that could possibly arise. Yeah. And it's I'll be very interested to talk about it when we come back, and I'm really interested to see if that's... how that shakes out.
I mean, things can definitely open your mind. Like when I played against Ricard at Lock and Load.
Yeah.
And he threw down Gators, and I was like, oh, man, like Madrak eats Gators for breakfast. Like, this is like a surefire win for me. And I... ended up, well, I should have lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like, wow, that was not at all like I thought it was going to be. You know, like that.
You think he's the one Minions player that's represented?
I would suspect. That was
It's possible that there's more than one, right? Like, it's 1% of 320, so it's possible that there's up to three Minion players.
I guess.
320?
I don't think
it says 320 individuals. In the tournament.
There's 320 lists.
320 lists.
Oh, it's lists.
So,
oh,
right. So
160 players.
Okay, so yeah, it's one Minions player.
Yeah, it's one.
One Minions player, five mercenary players. Yeah, I think that's what it looks like. Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Hey, Rhett.
Retribution makes a... Well, here's the interesting breakdown is that Rhett, Scorn, Trollbloods, and Kador...
all have the same.
...are all 7% of the field. Clearly, the opinion is that... Well, clearly the opinion is that Legion and Krix are the strongest factions based on
Signar's way up there too, but I think that's an answer to all the Krix that like probably. People are net decking for Krix with their Signars, I'm pretty sure.
So yeah, we're looking at percentage-based breakdowns of factions and then a list of casters that come out. This was published by some of the WTC folks.
Colin will put a link in the show notes.
Yep.
If you want to see what we're looking at, there's a faction distribution pie chart that's pretty interesting, and then some other stuff, too.
Looks like they're saying lists have been validated and will be posted shortly. So we don't have, as of this today, in our time, we don't have the specific lists, but we're looking at this faction breakdown. Krix has come out on the top with, and they've got a pie chart of what percentage of players have brought them, and the pie chart is interesting, but I think actually what's more interesting is... the bar graph below that, which lists the number of times or the percentage of a time that a given faction appears on any team, and Krix shows up in just shy. It looks like about 78% of teams have a Krix player in their roster, and it looks like 75% of players have a Legion player in their in their roster. So
then it goes to Circle next.
Signar
then Circle.
Signar, Circle, Protectorate.
I'm actually kind of surprised at the low representation of Pet Protectorate, or relatively low. I would have thought that would have been a higher.
I mean, they're still in the 60% of all teams.
Yep.
Like, they're not Krix or Legion, but they're comparable to the other, like, top-tier representation. They're not Kador.
Yeah, Kador, Retribution, Scorn, and Trollbloods are all very, very even.
They feel underrepresented, at least Scorn, Trollbloods, and Kador.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by Kador. More so than I am Scorn and Trollbloods.
Oh, I think Jamie P's negative opinion that's been prevailing for most of the year has probably impacted the European meta. I could be wrong about that, but that would be my guess. And we're not bringing a Kador player, if that tells them anything.
Yeah.
So, between our two teams, we don't have one.
Although Flanzer talked about playing Kador.
Yeah,
he wasn't opposed to it, so.
Actually, I wonder, so 7% of 100 and 160?
It's around 10.
It's it's 160 players.
Yeah.
So 7% of 160 is
around 10.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Almost exactly. actually, might be 10. So
Asians, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, we know you're a terrible Asian, though, so your math skills cannot be counted upon.
Usually we have to double-check your math skills.
So you've told us before yourself that you're bad at math.
Yeah, because I always tell the truth about things 11. Like that.
It's 11.
0.2 individuals.
11.2. Fantastic.
11.2 looks like someone was wrong.
I said around...
Your math is shut.
He said around 10. And that means that if the math had come out to be 18, he'd be like, that's around 10.
Why did it have to be one higher so that by Price is Right rules, he's technically...
No one else bid. I say 10.1. Yes, I win.
10.1, Bob.
You should have said 11.
What should have said 11.
I should have. From now on, whenever John says any number, I'm going to just go one number.
One higher. Up. The price is right.
The price is wrong.
So we're actually bringing a much higher percentage than the field average of Trollblood players.
Is Flanzer still doing Trollbloods? I didn't know.
That's a fair question. I do not know what the other team's submitted lists look like.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't hear from him for a while. But
yeah, 2 and 10, 20% Trollbloods potentially. From the USA?
Yeah.
Yep. And you guys both have a Protectorate player too, right?
So we both brought a Protectorate player.
And only one of our teams have a Legion player.
And only one of our teams have a Krix player.
Mm-hmm. God, yeah, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. We actually bucked that. We're not one of those everybody else's teams has both a Krix and a Legion player.
Which casters are you playing against, Keith?
I don't see how that's relevant. It's not the most common pairing.
All right.
What does 15% work out to be?
I guess of 160,
24.
25. 25. 25. It is 24 on the nose. Thank you.
Worth a shot. What was it on the nose?
24.
Okay.
So
he's right.
He's right now. So he's right. I mean.
Yeah, you can't ever confirm that I'm right, because I'm apparently insufferable when I get told that I'm right. So
they've got most popular Warcaster Warlock choices. That means 17 of the 24, only 7 Legion players are not playing Vale 2. She's the most represented caster coming.
Yep, by a fairly significant margin. It drops off pretty quickly after Vale.
However, Haley 2 may be more represented in the Signar faction.
Almost assuredly. I think she might be in all of them.
Yeah, 15. That's what I was trying to figure. She's 15, so that's 13%.
13% would be closer to like...
Oh, yeah, 13% is like 20-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
she's not in every single...
Yeah. She's in a higher percentage
than
of those
Vale
lists.
Is. Yeah.
I'm actually surprised a little bit by the retribution number that there's 11 retribution players present.
Yeah,
three of them. There are 11.
Highly doubt there are any teams that doubled up on retribution. So that means that
4 retribution casters.
It's like a third of the field has a retribution player.
Yeah,
on their team.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because Retribution has some pretty good matchups against Protectorate.
Yeah.
So if you expected a lot of Protectorate, then Retribution seems like a good call. And
then having a Scion in the bank scares them right off.
That's what's odd is the most common pairing isn't... Scion, it's Ron Raven. 3 of the 11 Protector... Or 3 of the 11...
Venganza players.
Brought Raven Ron.
Ron Raven. I'm wondering...
How many countries with 2 teams have exactly the same lists across both teams?
This is actually...
I feel like anybody that has 2 teams with both Legion players on it that are playing Zarin Vale have the exact same lists across 2 teams, right?
I'm really looking forward to seeing the lists get published, because I'm kind of hoping to be surprised. I'm hoping that not every Legion player is a carbon copy of Jake's lists. Although that would add some predictability to the day, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that one of the Wreckcasters is not listed among the top 10 Warcaster Warlocks.
It's just funny because we don't know anything about them.
There can
like,
only be
I keep thinking that
seven of them.
Every time I go up against...
It's the most played. So, like...
It's the most popular... Yes, it's the most popular Warcaster Warlock choices. And the lowest one
is nine
copies of. And the most possible for Retribution is seven copies.
It's 11.
11.
It's 11. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I'm actually a little bit surprised that there are not 11 Ossians out there. But
I'm actually not. Differences in meta. And what matchups you're trying to cover. Maybe they're taking Retribution for a different matchup. I don't know what that would be, but it's possible.
So many Sarens and Vales. 11 people brought Saren Vale.
Vale 2.
Yeah.
It's a pretty strong combination, although I feel like Vale 2 is a little bit susceptible in SR 2013. She can definitely lose on Scenario.
She's got a fair number of tools to help her stay relevant in Scenario. She's got... stealthed heavies can sit in zones fairly well, and admonitioned heavies can sit in zones pretty well.
Yeah, but if you threaten the admonitioned heavy, I guess they can admonition to another place, but I don't know.
Angeliuses are hard to kill sometimes.
They can be. Yep, absolutely. I didn't say that she's necessarily weakened. I just think she's vulnerable to a good scenario list.
Sure.
Because of the way she plays.
Sure.
She plays a very defensive... back off sort of play style where she doesn't leave a lot in front of you and she tries to take things from you piecemeal without giving anything up often. So that's play style isn't great for 2013. That's all.
Apart from the potentially low turnout of Protectorate, is there anything on this list that really stands out as surprising to you guys?
I was surprised Rhett's that high.
I was going to say there's more Rhett than I would have expected based on what we normally see at conventions in the United States.
Yeah.
Retribution is usually less than 5% of the field overall. So...
I mean, it just seems weird to look at this pie chart and see Kador, Trollblitz, and Scorn, and Rhett all at 7%. That's just...
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Weird to me.
Again, it's a different type of meta, so right. It's interesting.
All the metas, in fact.
Harbinger shows up in a disappointing number of those Protectorate pairings.
Well, let's see.
14.
All but 5 of them, I think.
They're what percent?
12%.
12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harbinger's... We've talked about Harbinger before, but she's definitely a meta bender.
Mravana 2 shows up on a lot of lists as well.
Yes.
Yep.
So I guess, actually, there's enough repeat instances of the quote-unquote power casters here to give me... I'm not sure if it was surprising to me or not how consistent caster choices were across the board. But... Because, I mean, in this top 10 Warcasters, we have, let's see... 10 different cast. They're the top 10 casters, and it's roughly 120.
132 possible Warcasters and Warlocks.
I meant.
He means the number.
Tallying up the total number of players playing a top 10 Warlock.
Yeah.
Or Warcaster.
Oh, I see.
The problem is your Vale 2 and Saren. Like 11 of those are the exact same player.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't do the calculation. I was trying to crunch the numbers. I was trying to break down how many of each Wreckcaster there are, or like could be. Mm-hmm. And so I know there's not Aarons or Ossians or Ravens.
But is there anybody missing from this list of top 10 where we're like, why is that guy not in there?
There's one person I'm surprised that's actually in there.
Denegra 1.
I was actually surprised. Well, actually, I don't know. I mean, she's strong, obviously, but Fiora 2. Is that she's...
I'm surprised she is in the top 10.
Over one of the Kriasses or potentially Severus.
But I think that might be skewed by the fact that a lot of the Protector casters are in the same level of play, or, like, same power level, kind of. Whereas in, like, Cricks, there's like a top four, and then the rest are just like
right,
not even on the board.
Right.
Same with Signar.
I mean, you run into the issue of some of the game's strongest casters might not be up there, but it might be because their faction is underrepresented, rather than that caster is not being played.
I'm kind of surprised Denny 1 isn't up there.
That's what I said. She's missing from the list.
The Denny 2 is there, and the Denny 1 is not. I mean, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but it's not representative of what you usually see people play. I see a lot of Denny 1 from typical Krix players and not as much Denny 2, I feel like.
Yeah. I also feel like Kraos 1 is a power caster.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why we were surprised
Fiora over one of the Kraos 1 or Kraos 3 or Severius. You see a lot of Severius. Like,
yeah. I see less of that guy now than I used to.
That's true, I suppose.
I think it's because of John being like, Kraos, so stupid. Just pop your feet. You just purify and pop your feet and kill the world.
You
and then people
boil
like,
the water.
Yeah, it's literally it's
you
just
open
that.
The packet.
Like, the best is like Chris and you and I would like talk about like, oh, we could tech against it, and we could use this Animus, and then like you'd be like, oh yeah, that would work, and then like 3 seconds later, someone would be like, wait, purification, God,
that caster should not have purification.
I want to know if all five mercenary players brought Bard Galleon.
I guarantee you.
I'm going to guess not because of SR 2013.
I mean, I would agree, but. Whenever I see Merc films like the Matty K does, it's almost always Bard Galleon. Like that's almost always the list that I see people play. So I'm curious to see what the five mercenary lists are for sure. Obviously, that's my own personal.
Yep.
But yeah,
I'm interested to see how the Merc players and the Circle players and the Rep players do.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see when the lists come out how many are skew lists and how many are balanced lists.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's an interesting. Bit too.
Yeah.
I mean.
Good point, John.
I'm just thinking, you know, strategy wise, do you go with trying to skew and so you get yourself into really good matchups?
Yeah.
Or do you go with balance lists so that no matter what you see, you're in good shape? I mean.
Well, do you think that there's anything different about this tournament as compared to a regular tournament that causes you to want to change whether you skew or not skew?
I would kind of, I mean, there's gains with how the matches are picked up. You can just present someone with, like, this problem. And, like, I don't exactly know how the like, pairing works, but, like, you guys kind of.
It's the pair of lists, right? You give them the pair, you're like, here are my pair of lists, and then they put down their two. It's player versus player.
It's player versus player, and then you do standard pick your list.
Okay.
For the scenario.
So, Chad and Keith have actually, obviously, theoried this, been with the other
The way that it
guys.
Works is you flip a coin to see who goes first. And then the team that goes first puts up a player. And then the other team puts up two of their players. And then the first team gets to pick one of those two players to play against the player that they put up.
Right.
And then the person that's left on the table from team two... Team 1 puts up two of their players to fight him, and then they choose, and it goes back and forth like that.
Do you think that that format lends itself to any sort of difference in terms of whether or not you want skew lists or balance lists?
I think that you can scare people away from choosing one or the other player if they have a skew list that they're particularly afraid of.
Yeah, I think it may be advantageous to have one or two skew lists on your roster. I'm not sure that having your whole team build skew lists is good.
Yeah. I mean, it could be nice as, like, a clutch. Like, you're the last person in a matchup, and you just have, like... You've, like, scared them into this corner with your other, like, matchups. Like, Krix player versus Trolls, and then that Troll player won't be able to deal with a skew list that will be presented at, like, the end or something.
Something I was thinking about just now, and I need more time to think about it. Probably should have shared this a while ago before you guys did lists, but it would have been really cool to... Maybe have like a 5-player team, all have an armor skew available to them. So you could just be like, you're dealing with an armor skew for all 5 of your lists against your opponent. You could put you into an advantage, or like an infantry spam skew or something, or a high defense skew, but have all of you have like a good balance list, so that if you get put up against something so you have the option to play a good balance list or to skew your opponent out if they don't have an answer.
Yeah. So one armor SKU list, one balance list.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Or whatever SKU you want to use. I just think that would have been an interesting...
It's interesting because my two lists are infantry spam and armor SKU. So it's infantry SKU, armor SKU. Like, I'm playing two SKU lists.
Yeah.
But those are just the lists that I play, you know?
Yeah. And Mad Dragon can do me, right?
Yeah.
Both those lists can handle the other, I feel like.
Sharing his technology on the podcast.
It'll be out in like a week.
The lists are submitted now.
They'll know his actual list.
People are going to get a jump on preparing for Chad.
Chad's taken. I'm going to build his Doomly list. I'm going to guess that it has a Janissa in it.
You son of a bitch.
How dare you?
perhaps a mole.
Crump.
What?
You are sharing trade secrets for the American WTC.
Oh, God.
If they do not win, now it's going to be on you.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be completely
on
the
mold.
You.
I'm going to be... what's his name?
You are a traitor to your
Arnold.
Own people.
I'm Benedict Arnold.
You are
War
Benedict
Machine.
Arnold.
Awesome.
I'm breaking the mold. I'm not taking Janissa with Doomship.
Nope.
Everyone believes you.
There's like one Ravagor. You're like...
Just taking Gunbjorn.
Just take a Pyre Troll. With.
Ooh, problem solved. You're good. Saber. Yeah, you don't need no Janissa.
Take Gunbjorn as a 3-point solo.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you surprised at the amount of Denegar 2 that you see here, Keith?
I actually am. I had not seen very much of her this year. And we didn't start. I don't pretend that we have any great influence on the international meta. But we didn't start really talking about her until several months ago.
Except for Ireland. I feel like this podcast exerts strong influence on the
anonymous Irish team.
Irish, yes.
There may be an anonymous Irish team podcast coming, too.
I hope
it's... Oh, God.
I cannot wait. It's going to be amazing.
If it's as good as their Facebook posts, hold on to your seats.
Well, I mean, their writing is really good. They have a lot of really...
That's true.
Naturally, they're warrior poets.
Right. Isn't that Scotsman?
Shut your mouth.
They're the same.
It's all the same thing,
they're
right? Irish, Scots, Wales.
Which
Celtic,
one?
They're all British.
Celtic,
that's all I
kilt know. Wearing, potato eating bastards.
Which one?
Oh my God.
Which one's Braveheart?
I think that's the Irish, right?
I'm pretty sure it's the Welsh.
Which one's Braveheart?
When we meet them, we need to be like, are you Braveheart?
they're all anonymous. I don't know.
Were they German?
Which one are you guys? Are you guys Braveheart?
Are you Mel Gibson?
One thing I have noticed in the top four Warcasters, three of them are very strong scenario players.
Isn't it like Harbeed?
Haley 2, Saren, and Harbinger are all ridiculous in SR 2013 scenarios.
As is Morvana.
As is
Denegra.
As is Asphyxius.
I mean, Asphyxius just does everything well, right?
So. Yeah.
He also makes Trulian fries.
The only caster that I might list as being not overtly strong in scenario in that top 10 list is Fiora.
And somewhat Scar, maybe.
Scar?
You think Vale is overtly strong in scenario?
Oh, no, actually, that's not true.
Yeah.
So maybe Vale, Scar, and Fiora.
But the thing that Vale 2 has is she's a very good generalist list, which is why... So they have a strong scenario presence with Saren.
Sure.
And then Vale 2 is, I can handle just about anything because of purification and the way she plays.
Right.
Like, she's a very good all-comers caster.
The fact that she's solid and has 6 extra points.
I was going to say, she's playing 5 or 6 points up as well, so that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, Well, assuming they're all tier lists, and
I
think that's a safe assumption. So.
That my two lists versus that Saren and Vale 2 is like a nightmare of list chicken.
Yeah.
Because I like Madrek crushes Vale 2, or doesn't crush Vale 2, but it's a really good game versus Vale 2, and Doomshaper...
As long as you don't die to double
versus
of blitz
versus Saren.
Yeah.
Just
you out-threat her so you can force her to feed.
So I force her to feed.
Defensively,
yeah,
and then you feed
offensively.
Well, I don't think that the Legion Beasts can crack that all the armor in one turn.
Yeah, true.
Which is what I'm forcing them to do, essentially.
Well, I mean, Jake played that game. Vale 2 versus Doomy 1. And got his ass handed to him twice.
Okay. That's entirely irrelevant, though.
He's Doomy 2.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's similar.
Mm.
His feet makes you...
Those casters are pretty different.
Right? Like, Doomy 2's feet makes your threat range.
The casters are different, but you still have Janissa and a huge brick, right? So,
well, I guess
no, no, because you don't have the. I don't have the rune shapers as a screen. It's way different. It's probably weaker.
I'm just
saying. But it's what I'm more familiar with.
Jake could get beasts on his beasts, but he couldn't kill them. At all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, depending on how the matchup goes, you could also get her to, like, feed out of fear of getting Alpha struck to death.
No, that matchup actually way, way, way different, because I don't have Rampager either. Like,
yeah.
It's way worse. But, I mean, the thing is that since I out-threat Saren, I can force her to... I'm not sure how the Veil 2 matchup with Doomy goes, but... I know that Madrak is comfortable versus her, and I don't know. It's just I haven't really thought about it yet, I guess. And I'm playing two essentially infantry lists versus, well, Madrak's not really infantry, I guess, or not really melee.
Doomy is not
melee. I mean, Madrak? That's what I meant to say. I meant to say melee. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, melee lists to get Saren are sometimes scary, but
yep. I mean, you just have to be able to weather the storm, and possibly force her to feet before she can. If she can hit you with everything the same turn she feeds, it's very bad.
That's a disaster.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I can stop that from happening. Happen.
Yeah.
But having something that charges a long ways, like Fenblades, usually takes care of that. You can force her to feed on a turn that's not perfectly optimal. Having a counter feat is helpful. Extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. But not necessary. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting matchup discussion that goes into it, and then ultimately, I mean, you can spend a lot of time preparing for a lot of these matchups and then possibly never hit them, just because of the way selection goes.
Mm-hmm.
So preparing for this is going to be interesting, and I'm sure we'll talk about it some more as we learn more and as we progress, because we're notoriously bad at keeping secrets of any kind.
Yep.
Not me.
No, just John.
Just John.
I am amazing at keeping secrets.
Well, it's more like we'll have our secrets, and then we'll be on our third hour of podcasting for that, and we're like, oh, God, we have something to talk about. Well, let's just break up. Let's just start talking about all of this.
Screw
let's
it.
Just dump our brains.
So, yeah, this breakdown has been interesting so far. I'd like to see full breakdowns and the lists.
Yeah, I'm pumped for when the lists get posted, because then we can go in depth of how we think.
I'm super
like, we could, like, start to get interesting depictions of other metas and, like how you've talked about, like, Brian White, how you're like, I don't understand how this developed. And then we could, like, seeing the entire, like, three or four lists from a certain area, we could be like, how did this meta get...
It's like a sociology experiment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like the porn demographics.
So the things...
Exactly like that.
The things I'm most interested in seeing, I want to see the German lists, because I've heard they're very good.
They all have Kel Balok in them.
Well, I've just heard they're very good.
Scheiße.
Yeah. Apparently, the Germans, from what I understand, take War Machine very seriously, so they have, like, coaches.
From what I understand, Germans take everything very seriously.
Fair enough.
They're the least humorous people on the face of the planet.
Do they take humor very seriously?
God. I think
that
so.
Episode, the robot episode of South Park. A bunch of Germans program a robot, like a comedy robot.
That's right. I do remember that now.
And ending on that racist note, we'll be back next time for more racism and War Machine chat. We'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of Muse on Minis, and want to remind you to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for more analysis and commentary from John, Keith, Chad, Crump, and the rest of the crew. For more Muse on Minis, visit us on Facebook or check us out on Twitter, at Muse on Minis. And don't forget, we're also at MuseOnMinis.com, with tons of great articles about the hobby we all love. Keith?
Josh?
What?
Jinx? Sort of.
Crump?
Is it really racism, or is it more like xenophobia?
It's xenophobia.
Anyway, this is Chad.